Let's praise our Lord together. Sing to him. Sing, who am I that the highest king? Welcome.
Who am I that the highest king would welcome?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. I want to say welcome to those who are on our social media platforms, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, all of those things. Be sure to heart, to like, to share, make comments there. Welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. If you're at home, you have access to the church website. I encourage you to go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. You can download the worship bulletin for today, so be sure to get that downloaded, as well as the children's worship bulletins. These are at the doors. Some are in the windowsills, as well as the children's worship bulletins are in the windowsill to my right. So be sure to grab those this morning. If you're here as one of our guests, especially if you're a first-time guest, we want to encourage you to pick up one of the gift bags on the sides of the stage or at the doors, if you will. It's a gift we want to give to you that has some information about our church. It also has some things in it that we just want to say welcome, thank you so much for being here and being a part of our service. So be sure you get one of those. If you brought somebody with you this morning, be sure they also get one. And then also, I forgot to mention under that, highlandbaptistchurch.com, if you'll download the prayer list there's quite a few who we've added to that who need some prayer there for things. If you are part of our baby dedication, child dedication service this morning, if you'll go ahead and begin to make your way closer to the front, to these front pews here, that way when we get to that portion of the service, you'll be ready. You'll see it there in your bulletins. So as we sing, you can do that.
Good morning, all. How many kids have we got here today? All the children, raise your hands. Now, all of you that you got ahead of me. All of you that think you're a kid, raise your hand. Well, we're having a dedication for the kids today, so our children today. So stand with us and let's sing Jesus Love Me. And I want to hear the kids.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Sorry about that. We threw Tommy a curveball back there. We're only doing three of those verses that are in that program. We come to our missionary moment time here in your bulletins that you'll see there for as we're praying for Brad and Lindsay Orman. So they are serving in Cala Mesa, California. I was trying to remember, how did I pronounce that before? Cala Mesa, California, by starting Garden City Church. God is using them in a great and mighty way there. So we want to encourage you to read your bulletins and read their story, but they especially want us to be praying that God would meet the needs of Garden City Church for a new building, and ask God to not only provide a place for them to meet on Sundays, but also a place that would be kind of a hub, if you will, for the community ministries that they are doing throughout the week. And so we want to uplift them in our prayers and uplift all of our other missionaries in our prayers also. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for people like the Ormans who have answered the call to serve you in your kingdom work. Father, we just pray that you would have your hand upon them in a special way, Lord, there at Garden City Church in Cala Mesa, California. We pray, God, that you would just continue to send your spirit before them to work in the hearts of people who need to be saved, to work in the hearts of those who have become saved already, to be discipled in their walk with you and to grow in their walk with you. And Lord, we just pray that you'll provide a hedge of protection about our missionaries, keep them safe, provide for every need that they have. And we just pray, God, that your name will be glorified and honored in everything they say and all they do. Lord, be with all of our missionaries around the nation, around North America, and even around the world. We pray, God, that you will just continue to bless them as they are gathering today to worship you. Father, as some of these missionaries are in very high secure areas of dangerous areas, and so Father, we just pray that as you know where they are, may you place a hedge of protection about them, encourage them, strengthen them, let them know that we are praying for them, that they have not been forgotten. And Father, I pray that we will continue to support them through our prayers and through our offerings. So Lord, we pray that you would bless this service this morning and all that we do, and we want to give you the glory even in our child dedication part of our service this morning. So we ask your blessings in a special way as we celebrate our nation's founding this week also with Independence Day. Father, we just pray that you would help us also not to forget the blessings that you've given to us as a nation. And so Father, we pray that you'll protect our nation, guide our nation. We pray that you'll be with our leaders, Father, to no matter who they are, that you will guide them and orchestrate them, Lord, to bring about your perfect will in your perfect way. And may you be glorified in our lives as a nation. Thank you for the freedoms that you've given us, and we just give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, we do want to ask if you would stand as we say our Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag. Would you stand with us, if you please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and you can be seated. We do want to remind you that you can do your offering giving. There are offering envelopes in the pews in front of you, so be sure to grab those, and you can put those in the offering plates here at the front or at the doors as you leave out in the hallway, so be sure to do that. You can also do that online, and especially if you're at home, you can do that online. Go to highlandbaptistchurch.com, go to that far right-hand side, and click the Give Online tab there. It's a real easy platform. You can do a one-time gift, a recurring gift is secure also, and so I encourage you to take the time to do that. So as we come to this part of our service here for our baby child dedication, as I look around, I think we have all of our parents and kids here this morning. I wanted to speak to you parents as well as to the church to just kind of give us some direction this morning about what a child baby dedication service is all about. Why do we do a child dedication service? Well, being a parent is one of the greatest joys in life, but it's no easy task. It brings a lot of great joy, but often you feel that nagging feeling in your gut that makes you wonder, am I doing this whole parenting thing right? You know, there's good news for us. There's good news in God's Word, and there's good news for us today that you don't have to parent alone. And that's where a child dedication service comes in. You get to stand in front of your church family, commit to raising your children alongside your church family. And we know as a parent, you're the most important influence in your children's lives. But you're not the only influence that your children need. And that's where we, as your church family, come in to the situation here. And so a child dedication is an opportunity to invite others. It's an opportunity to develop and influence your children as they grow in their faith. And when you dedicate your children, you're deciding that you'll raise your children to know Jesus and who he is. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through verse 7 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." So what that tells us is we're to love God with everything in us. We're to model that for our children because we know that our example is far more important than our words. We're to teach our children and to show them what it looks like to follow Jesus. We're to talk about it, we're to think about it, and we're to do that often. You know, leading kids to live a life like Jesus is not just some checkbox on a parenting to-do list. It's an intentional, ongoing conversation that shapes who they are now and who they are becoming. So a child dedication is a great step for you as a family. But understand this, it's not the same thing as salvation. Salvation is what happens when your child decides to start that personal relationship with God themselves. And we as Baptists don't baptize babies or very young children because baptism is for when they decide to trust by faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So a child dedication is less about your child's choice now and more about your choice to help them to make those decisions later. So when you dedicate your children, you're committing to raise them in an environment where they'll hear about Jesus and have that opportunity someday to receive him themselves. You know, a child's dedication is a big deal because it sounds like there may be a lot more things to do, but you're actually lightening the load because you're committing to some things in partnership with the church. So I want to begin by sharing this challenge to you as parents. Parents, I want to encourage you to present your child to God as Hannah and Elkanah did. We're going to learn about them a little bit later in the message. Asking God to give you wisdom and grace and faith to see your child's value through his eyes and not just your own. You know, this isn't something you do just on baby child dedication service day, but every day as you behold the wonder of your child's growth and development. So present your child to God. Secondly, acknowledge your own inadequacy to be what God requires apart from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the first step to becoming the parent your child needs is for you to acknowledge your need for a relationship with God, for you to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So acknowledge that. Thirdly, resolve. Resolve to pursue a daily walk with Christ. You know, spiritual activities and disciplines like prayer and singing and thanksgiving and Bible reading, all that can play a part in your daily routine as you invest in the life of your child. And developing that atmosphere of love and security and growth, all of that flows from your own personal relationship with God. So you need to be calling on the Lord day by day and proving his strength in your life. Let me encourage you, parents, elevate the Word of God in your family and in your home. The Bible is filled with many instructions and guidance for us as parents. It challenges us to love and to honor each other, to affirm and to value our children, and to discipline and train them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You know, Scripture presents principles and values for your safety and for the welfare of your child. And then let me encourage you also to nurture faith in your children. Let your home be filled with love and laughter and prayer and song and joy. Tell your children that God loves them and that he has a plan for their lives. Let Jesus' name be heard in your home. Read those great Bible stories to them. Make prayer a practice at mealtime, at bedtime, and at other times of the day. And pray for the salvation of your children at an early age for them to live their lives for Jesus. And then finally, let me encourage you, take your kids to church. Let them grow up worshiping with you and seeing you serve Jesus alongside of them. God gives parents the support of a church community to share these seasons of life together, and all too often, too many parents neglect going to church and being involved in church. So a growing church can make all the difference in your life with Christ. It can make all the difference in the strength of your family, and it can make all the difference in the reality of a child's faith. So I'm going to ask you parents, if you will, to go ahead and to make your way up to my left here on the stage and just come on behind me here and fill in the area over here and bring your kids with you. You can come on up on the stage. Just come on around. So parents, as I share these promises with you that you're making today in dedicating your children, let me move closer so you can hear it online. As I share these promises with you, I'm going to ask, if you will, to answer each one of these things, if you commit to them, with "we do." So parents, do you promise to love God and pursue your relationship with Him on a daily basis? Do you promise to honor God by obeying His word in your life? Do you promise to teach your child to love and reverence God? Do you promise to provide spiritual and moral training for your child according to God's word? In dedicating your child, you're acknowledging your need for God's wisdom, guidance, and strength in parenting. You're affirming the commitment of your heart to follow Jesus Christ, to obey His word. You're surrendering yourself to honor God by being a faithful steward of the gift that He's entrusted to you. This is a moment when you recognize and embrace the spiritual responsibility of answering to God for the children you're dedicating this morning. Stay where you are. For the church, don't think you're getting out of anything. You know, parents, you've not been left without instructions for parenting, as we said. He's not left you to do this task alone. When our church comes together for a service like this, we're not simply celebrating the gift of a child. We're the commitment of the parents. We're embracing our responsibility as a church to support these families by teaching God's word, by serving one another in love, by training up disciples of Jesus, and by pointing others to Christ. We understand that that inspires faith, that challenges growth, and that provides opportunities for service. So believing that we as a church have been charged with sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the next generation, we enthusiastically affirm you and your children today as a part of this service also, praying for God to work through you and through us as a church to make an eternal difference in the life of your child. So we want to encourage your journey with your child and have given much attention to developing ministries for this purpose. So as I share these promises with you as a church, would you answer also, if you commit to do these things, with "we do"? Church, do you promise to walk beside these families in love and help them to pursue their relationship with God on a daily basis? We do. Do you promise to be an example by honoring and obeying God's word in your life? We do. Do you promise to teach their children to love and reverence God? We do. Do you promise to provide spiritual and moral training for their children according to God's holy word? We do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for these kids. And I just want to ask you, you may want to reach your hands forward as we're praying for these families this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the gift that these precious children are. We thank you for their parents who have recognized the importance of raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We as a church commit to help these children to live a life fully devoted to you. Lord, our prayer is that this dedication will continue throughout these children's lives, that they would grow to have a heart that is entirely dedicated to you and to your kingdom. We pray, Lord, that this dedication will be a lifelong devotion to you and to your word. We know, Lord, that you've heard the dedication of these children, the promises these parents have made, the promises that our church has made. And we pray, Lord, for you to pour out your grace upon these families to fulfill their promises and their vows. We pray that these children will grow up to follow you and to give you glory. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your provision and for your blessing on these families. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give these families a round of applause? Thank y'all so much. We're going to be singing a song here in just a moment that Brother Mike is going to come and lead us in. But we're going to go ahead at this song and go ahead and dismiss Children's Church.
Join us as we sing 504, God Give Us Christian Homes. And you said Children's Church now? Children can gather on the piano side over here during this song. You don't have to stand on this one, but you can.
Yeah.
That's it. This time, stand. Stand with us as we sing 277, Take My Life and Let It Be. Spent.
Well, take your Bibles this morning, if you will. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel. I told you last week we had a two-part piece there to the passage we're in Ephesians, and that we'll be getting back to that in a couple of months. Beginning us this, or preaching this message this morning, because we had our baby child dedication service today here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 18. But then beginning next Sunday through the summer months, I'm going to be going through the book of Psalms, sharing some of my favorite Psalms, some Psalms as we continue to do what we did last year on Sunday nights. We're going to be doing that on Sunday mornings this time. You know, as we come to this prayer, this day, as we've honored our children and dedicating them, and these parents, and we as a church committing those commitments, we come to this passage. I've entitled this message this morning, A Prayer of Dedication, and you're going to see that and understand that as we get into this passage. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1 through verse 9, you meet these two characters, Elkanah and Hannah. And we read about especially her prayer of dedication. Now, 1 Samuel, to kind of give you the background before we read the scripture here that I want to look at, 1 Samuel takes place shortly after the book of Judges. So if you're looking through your Bibles, you come to the book of Joshua and then Judges, and then you have this little tiny book of four chapters called Ruth that's in between the book of Judges and 1 Samuel. So it's right on the coattails, if you will, of the environment and the culture that the book of Judges leaves us with. At the very end of the book of Judges, it says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." But as you come to the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel begins, and as it begins, a new era is about to dawn. This story tells of the events that lead to the birth of the prophet Samuel, the man who God used more than any other to begin this new era in the life of Israel. His father was Elkanah. Elkanah means God has created a son, which was prophetic of what was soon to occur in Hannah's womb. Now, we're going to find out as we read through these verses that Elkanah must have been a man of some means, because he couldn't just afford one wife, he could afford two. It's hard enough to have one, but he had two. Now, understand, polygamy was not God's intention. But as we know, this was a time when people were doing what was right in their own eyes. And Elkanah had apparently fallen to the pressures of the pagan customs around him. Now, his first wife is named Hannah. This was his true love. But as the years go on, it becomes obvious that she can't have any children. She's not had any children. She's barren. And that would be a hard thing for Elkanah and Hannah, because it was the burning desire of every couple in those days to have children, especially male children, so that the family name could continue to go on. In fact, the inability to conceive was one of the main reasons husbands would then take a second wife. And since Hannah had been unable to have children, Elkanah takes a second wife named Peninnah. You can see this in the first few verses there. Elkanah, as he takes this second wife, Peninnah, she wasn't barren. In fact, she seems to be having a baby every time she turns around. Just as regularly as the seasons come, a new son or a new daughter comes into the family, so that the house has become filled with the laughter of children. But here's the problem. None of them were Hannah's. And this went on for years, year after year after year. You could just imagine the ache in Hannah's heart, that it deepened as time went by. And the final blow was, of course, was that Peninnah couldn't keep quiet about how many babies she had. She found every way in the book, if you will, to remind Hannah of her inadequacy. Now, Peninnah, she would taunt Hannah. and she would mock her every word. It was like a knife that was plunging deeply into the spirit of this godly woman. You could just imagine Peninnah saying things like, "Oh, Hannah, I know you're disappointed that you haven't been able to have any children, but just think of it this way. It's a blessing in disguise. I mean, after all, I have so many. I just don't know how we'd feed anymore." And you could imagine how that made Hannah feel, like a knife in her back. Well, the story goes on, and we find out that three times a year, all Israelite men were required to be at the central or most important sanctuary to offer sacrifices in observance of the main religious festivals. So when Elkanah's family arrives, he follows the custom of his people, and he distributed a portion of the sacrificial meat to Peninnah and to each one of her children. But if you'll read the passage here and get the background here, you'll see that he provided Hannah a double portion because she was his great love. But the scripture tells us, in spite of Hannah's special status, that she was the love of his life, Hannah's misery continued, and it all came to a climax when they were at Shiloh for this festival. Let's stand, if you will, for the reading of God's word, verse 9 and verse 10, 1 Samuel chapter 1. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a powerful passage we're looking at this morning. What a prayer from this godly woman who was suffering in her heart so much abuse from others around her, the situation that she was in of a barren womb, Lord, the burden that she must have been carrying with the weight of the world on her shoulders. And it all comes to a head here at Shiloh. And Lord, you tell us in your word that she was deeply distressed. And she prayed to you. And she wept bitterly. Lord, I don't know each person's situation here this morning. I don't know each person watching online. But you do. And you know, Lord, that there are those who have been in a similar situation as Hannah. Lord, they have not been able to have a child for whatever reasons or not. But Lord, even in that, you still wanted to use them to bring glory and honor to your name. But there was heart hurt in their hearts for that. They longed and desired to have children. For some, you answered that prayer. For others, you didn't. Not in the way we thought you should. You answered in your perfect will. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you will speak some truths to us about Hannah and Elkanah that we can apply to our lives as parents, as husbands and wives. Father, I pray that we will learn the lessons from them so that we don't make the same mistakes they did, and also so that we can follow in the steps that they did take. So bless your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So we see her prayer there in verse 11. So think about it. While she was fasting, while she was praying to the Lord, while she was weeping bitterly, out of her mouth and her heart to the Lord, she makes this vow to him that if he would only give her a son, she would give him back to God. Her prayer shows that Hannah knew that Elkanah wasn't the source of children. God is the giver of children. She recognized that children are always a gift of God, one of his greatest gifts. Psalm 127, verse 3 says this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." In verse 13 down through verse 18, Hannah continued praying. We don't know what else she prayed, but she's not praying out loud at this moment. If you will, let's go ahead and read these verses. I believe we have time. Verse 13. Well, actually, we'll pick up with verse 12. Now it says, "The sons of Eli were worthless men. They didn't know the Lord." And we see that contrasted against Hannah and Elkanah. I'm in chapter 2 there. It says, "Hannah was speaking," in verse 13, "in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, 'How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you.'" So think about it. She's already been under the weight of all of this, not having a child. She's crying before the Lord, weeping bitterly. And then here comes the priest who tells her, "Wait a second, you're drunk here." And he begins to lay more accusation upon her. "You're a drunken woman. How long are you going to be drunk? Put away your wine from you." Notice verse 15, "But Hannah answered, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord.'" Let me ask, have you ever found yourself in a place like that, where you're pouring your soul out before the Lord? If you've not been there, you will find your place there sometime. Notice here in verse 16, she says, "Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, he's like, "Oh, I made a mistake. Go in peace. The God of Israel grant your petition that you made to him." And she said in verse 18, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. She had prayed silently, moving only her lips, because she wasn't praying to be heard by men. She was talking to God from the depths of her heart, and that had caused Eli, the chief priest at Shiloh, to think that she was drunk, because typically prayer in the biblical days was almost always audible. But Eli had misjudged Hannah. She wasn't drinking. She was pouring out her soul to God. The Bible tells us that God remembered her prayer. This won't be on the screen, but you can see this in verse 19. It says, "They rose early in the morning." This is Eli, or Elkanah and Hannah and the rest of the family. "They arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in time she conceived, and she gave birth to a son, and that's how Samuel came to be born. His name means heard by God." So understand this, God hears your prayers. Whatever situation you're going through in life, he remembers your prayers, just like he did those of Hannah. There comes a time in the middle of things that we don't understand, but we simply have to trust God's heart, and we simply need to trust in his omniscient goodness, that even if he doesn't answer our prayer the way we want him to, it's still going to be for his glory, and it's still going to be for our good. That's what Hannah did, because when little Samuel was weaned, which in her day and age would have been anywhere from the age of 3 to 6 years old, she fulfilled her vow, the promise she had made before the Lord, and did what must have been one of the most painful things. She had prayed for a son, God gave her a son, and then she gives him back. She brings him to the tabernacle at Shiloh to dedicate him to the Lord, and leaves him there with Eli to raise as a priest. Notice that if you read the story on, Samuel grew up to become one of the most influential leaders in all of Israel's history. He was one of the greatest biblical characters between Moses and David. And I'm sure that no one was more prouder of his accomplishments than his mother. So how did Samuel turn out this way? What did his parents do to raise such a godly man like Samuel? Well, there's three very basic things that I want you to see this morning. First, they were devoted to each other. They were devoted to each other. Hannah and Elkanah obviously had enjoyed a great love. Remember verse 5? Verse 5 says that Elkanah had gave Hannah a double portion of meat because of his love for her. Then when you read verse 8, you can almost see him there. She's weeping because of all the mocking that she's been getting from Peninnah. She's burdened in her heart. She's weeping there. And he comes up, you can almost see behind her, puts his arms around her and draws her attention to their great love by saying, "Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? I love you and I would do anything for you. Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Hannah and Elkanah, they were devoted to one another. They loved one another. You may ask, well, how does this relate to successful parenting? What's love got to do with it? Well, the answer is everything. Because the quality of your relationship between you as a husband and you as a wife has a great deal of influence on how your children turn out. That's one reason that in Ephesians chapter 5, 28, that we'll get to later, husbands are commanded to love their wives. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, women are commanded to love their husbands. So we find here that they were devoted to one another. Secondly, we see that they, especially Hannah, as we're seeing in the scripture here, were devoted to their son's future. Notice verse 10 and verse 11 again. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly, and then she made that vow in verse 11. She wanted God's best for her little boy, of whatever child it would be. She knew that the best would be found by him putting himself in the center of God's will, and she understood that God had a special place for this child. After all, he was the answer to her prayers. You read on and find out that he was born. It was a boy, as she had asked of the Lord. She had devoted him to God in prayer. He was that answer. It was God that gave him to her. But understand this, Samuel didn't really belong to Hannah and Elkanah. Understand this, our children don't really belong to us. Our kids are given to us for a little while, and our job as parents is to prepare them for God's purposes. Our responsibility as a church is to help those parents to prepare them for God's kingdom and God's will. So as mothers and fathers, we have to parent our children in such a way that they come to the place in their own lives to say to God, "May your will be mine. I want to fulfill your plan for me, God, not my own." And that takes time, and that takes effort, and that takes a lot of love to produce children like Samuel. So let me encourage you, parents, keep on being devoted to each other. Keep on focusing on your child's future. But here was the third thing. They were devoted to God. Above all else, they were devoted to God. You can see this in verse 3, verse 19, verse 21 to 22, and verse 24 to 28. We're not going to read all those verses, but I wanted to give them to you so you could look at them later. Hannah and Elkanah not only loved each other, they also loved the Lord. And that's why their love was so strong. Because a threefold cord cannot quickly be broken. And so it was Elkanah, and it was Hannah, and it was God together, and they were thick as thieves. They were closer than anything. They loved each other. And that was clearly seen in their actions as you look back at verse 3. In verse 3, it said, "Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh." So year after year. Now, the word year by year doesn't mean that Hannah and Elkanah only went to worship once a year. It means that they attended the festivals referred to in verse 3 once a year and probably went at least three times annually so they could attend the other feasts and the other worship times that would be held at the temple. And every time they went, it was a round trip journey of about 2 to 3 weeks that they would be walking with one another. There's no other chores to do. There's no other things that are keeping us apart. We're just all walking together to go to Shiloh to worship the Lord, and then we're on our way back to the house. We see their devotion as you read over in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 19, where it says that after they gave Samuel to the priest Eli, they continued to make these regular journeys to the temple. It says in chapter 2 and verse 19, and his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So we see Hannah's dedication to God was seen in that action in her life, year after year, continuing to go to worship the Lord. But we also see it in her prayer life, because she had prayed for a son, and when God answered, she responded in another prayer in chapter 2, a prayer of thanks. That prayer apparently became so well known amongst the Jewish nation that Mary, the mother of Jesus, may have even patterned her own prayer of thanks after the words of Hannah. Hannah and Elkanah had a faith in God, and that was deeply felt. They had a faith in God that was genuinely believed and was clearly expressed in the actions of their lives. Now, you might ask, what does all that have to do with me as a parent? Everything. Because the quality of the relationship that not only you have as a husband and wife, but the quality of the relationship you have with God will influence your children's spiritual development. You see, our kids, they're always watching. They're always seeing the things you're doing. They're maybe over in a different part of the room playing, but they hear the words you're saying when you're on the phone with somebody else. And all of that influences our children. They're looking to see if God is really real to us. They notice how much we pray. They see how often we apply the teachings of God's word to our daily life. So understand this, if you don't live it, your children will not believe it. If you want your kids to believe in God, then you ought to live in a way that pleases Him. You've got to live it as well. Having a deep faith in God is not enough. We've got to live it out in our lives. What happens on the inside shows on the outside. So the question for us as parents is this: are we letting what God has done on the inside show on the outside? Because just telling our kids to pray is not enough. We ought to pray with them. Telling our kids to read the Bible is not enough. We ought to read the Bible with them and talk to them about how those principles apply to our lives. We're not always going to have our kids. And understand this, the day will come, and some of you have experienced this, some of you have experienced this years ago, and you know what we're talking about. The day's going to come too quickly when they're going to be out on their own. And so Hannah, she certainly discovered this. She only had a few years with her son before he was weaned and then took him to Shiloh there. So while we have them with us, we need to show them how important it is to know God personally. There's not a one of us who are here this morning that don't want the best for our kids. The day will come, but the best we can give our sons and our daughters is to guide them into a love relationship with God, to give them a personal faith in God. So let me ask you in closing, have you given your kids God's best? Do you know God personally? See, a personal relationship with God only comes through Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never committed your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to do that this morning. You may need to make a commitment to God this morning to enrich your marriage. You may need to make a commitment to deepen your own walk with God so that when your children are looking, they can see that you are giving God's best. To pray a prayer of dedication for your children like Hannah did means you have to dedicate yourself to to the Lord. So have you done that? You're here as a believer this morning. Have you done that? Are you doing that daily? I'd encourage you to look at God's word, to make sure that you're living your faith in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for this entire service, and we pray that all of this has brought glory and honor to your name. But Father, there may be those who are here this morning that have realized they've not been giving their best because they didn't know Christ yet as their Lord and Savior. So I pray in this invitation that they would come by faith to trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Others, Lord, who may have realized I've not been giving my best in being the example I need to be to my children. I've not been praying to the Lord and letting my children see that or praying with them. I've not been reading my Bible like I should be or reading it with them so that they could see the Word of God is important to me. I've not been living my life for Christ like I should be, and that's making an influence on my children. Father, I pray this morning, if we're here as a believer and we realize that, Father, may we come in our hearts and in repentance and confession before you, seeking your forgiveness and your cleansing, to start from this day forward to be the parent that we ought to be. And we as a church, to be the church we need to be in ministering to kids and ministering to their families, and seeking to help those children and those parents to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So bless us, Lord. Bless us in this invitation that your will would be done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 302, I Hear Thy Welcome Voice. Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us, and if you'll come as the Lord lays on your heart.
Just a couple of announcements and a couple of things for a couple of people. Matt wants to remind all the youth parents, there's a parent camp meeting tonight at 4 p.m. in the fellowship hall. So if you have a youth going to that camp next week, make sure you're there for that. Buildings and grounds committee, please meet by the piano after church with Jimmy just for a couple of minutes. Next week, we are doing the flag takedown at 8 o'clock, for all the flags that we put up yesterday, so try to come join us for that. A little bit of ministry to take the flags down and get them put away. Also a reminder, today is Fifth Sunday dinner, so come join us in the fellowship hall for food, lots of different servings, and a lot of chicken in there that I saw earlier this morning. And this evening is the Fifth Sunday sing, so come join us for that. Couple of quick prayer requests. Linda Johns has some medical issues that she's working through, so keep her in your prayer. Nathan Miller, he has his procedure tomorrow morning, so keep him in your prayers and the doctors in your prayers for that. And Brother Jim, keep him in your prayers for some cardio issues that he's trying to work out and doctors that he's going to see. And Miss Reba as Bethany. Yep. Keep her in your prayers. I did not have that on the list. With that, this week as we celebrate 4th of July, remember all the different services that help keep us free for the past 200 something years. We got the Air Force, we got the Army, we got the Marines. We'll even include the Space Force, the Navy, and the Coast Guard because, you know, they're out there somewhere. So keep all them in your mind and prayers as we celebrate this week. I'll go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed, Brother Jim. And I'll be blessing the food. So as we dismiss after that, you can come join us in the fellowship hall. Dear gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we just come before you and humbly thank you for everything you give us each and every day. We ask you to be with us as we go out into that world, Lord, and use the light of Jesus Christ to be a light for others in this world, Lord. Show them what love and grace that you've shown us each and every day. We ask you to use the food that is in this fellowship time to nourish our bodies and to strengthen us so that we can go out into that world and be what you want us to be and be in your will, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.